Timothy chapter number 3, and we'll read verse number 1. It says this, "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, for from such turn away." And so tonight we're going to continue our study and look at the character of the last days. We know, because the Bible tells us, this we do know, that in the last days perilous times shall come, fierce times, troublesome times. And the reason for these fierce times and troublesome times and perilous times comes from the character of the people who live in those times. And as we said before, that in the book of Revelation, you read of what we call the Great Tribulation period, which indeed are perilous times. But this, to his church, is talking about a sort of the last of the last days, the times which I believe we are living in now, a time of great spiritual peril. And because of the spiritual nature of, or the heart nature of these, of the characters of this times, it does become a dangerous time to live, because of the character of the age, the spirit of the age. And so what we want to look at tonight is the spirit of this age of blasphemy. So in this last times, perilous times will come because men will be blasphemers. Well, what is blaspheming to start with? Well, blaspheming is evil speaking. So in the Bible, you can blaspheme an individual. I could blaspheme you tonight because I could speak evil of you. I could gossip about you, and I could make up stories about you, and I could run you down in front of other people, and I would be technically blaspheming you. I'd be speaking ill of you with purpose to bring you down and run you down. And it's connected, and I almost brought this in last week with the boasters and the proud and the high-minded, because a blasphemer will only do that because they think so much of themselves. If you hear somebody continually talking ill of other people, you know that they have an issue of pride, because they judge themselves higher than they ought to, and they judge others far more stricter than they ought to, partly to make themselves look better, and partly so they could be a judge over other people. So people who gossip, and people who run other people down, and people who are continually evil speaking of other individuals usually have a problem with pride in themselves. So the proud are going to blaspheme other people. But what we also have here, and I think this is probably what it's referring to, is what's most commonly referred to blasphemy in the scriptures, speaking evil against God. Now, we can speak evil against man, and that is a sin, and it's a terrible sin. But to speak evil against God is far worse. And you can know this in the scriptures, that men will do this in the last days. And you can just look out into the culture, and you can know that we live in a time of great blasphemy. It's not uncommon for people to laugh and mock and to make fun of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is just a common thing now. And it's funny that these so-called rebels that will make jokes about Jesus and make movies and TV shows mocking and laughing at Jesus, they won't dare do that to Muhammad. They won't dare do that to these other religions, but they do have their heart set upon mocking and blaspheming the Lord Jesus Christ. And partly because they fear for their lives, because they don't want to be persecuted. And partly because they truly despise the Lord Jesus. They despise his doctrine. They despise his gospel. They despise his person. And so it is in their heart to hate him. And it just flows easy from them to blaspheme him and to mock and to laugh and so forth. Well, this is a heart sin. This is something that comes from within. And the reason why men blaspheme Jesus is, like I said, is because they hate him. Jesus himself said, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies." That flows from the heart. If you hear somebody blaspheming Jesus, they don't do that by accident. Or blaspheming God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, that's not done by accident. That is flowing out from their corrupt and wicked heart. You don't accidentally blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't accidentally curse and use God's name as a curse. That flows from a wicked heart. Now, people get into the habit of it, and they curse God and blaspheme God and get to the point where they don't even think about it. But all that is the overflow of a wicked heart. It just comes pouring out. It's like if you have a leak in your water pipe, it just comes out, doesn't it? It doesn't wait until certain times. If there's a hole in the pipe, it's going to bubble out because that's what is within that water. Well, that's what happens with people who harden their hearts and sear their conscience and begin to blaspheme. They just continue to do it, but it flows from within. And so this is a heart sin. And whenever in the spirit of the age, we have a people with a heart of blasphemy towards the Lord God. And there's different ways you can blaspheme the Lord. And you can blaspheme God in many ways besides just using a curse word or using the Lord's name as an oath. Now, that's definitely blaspheming the Lord, but you can do it in many ways. One is having a false profession. We'll look at a few scriptures tonight. One of them is Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9. Now listen to this. You can blaspheme the Lord by saying that you're one thing and doing something else. Revelation 2, 9, Jesus says, "I know thy works and the tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan." Now here are people who claim to be one thing, but in reality, they are something else. And there are many people who claim to be Christians and blaspheme the Lord. They claim to be followers of Christ, and yet blaspheme his name by the way that they act, the way their doctrine that they preach, the way that they so-called worship him. I watched a thing last night where this man, this so-called pastor in a so-called church, came flying into the pulpit on a zip line. And he was going to do this to illustrate some point. He said, well, he's going to illustrate the return of Christ. And here this foolish man comes flying into the church over top of the heads of the congregation on a zip line, far above the heads of the congregants. And he looked foolish and he acted foolish. But he was saying this is how the Lord's going to return, and that was blasphemous. And that was taking something foolish. He was acting like a clown as he is supposed to be preaching the Word of God. He was supposed to be one thing, but he was definitely something else. Well, here in our text, they said that they are Jews, but they're of the synagogue of Satan. And there are a great many people who say that they are Christians and say that they are or Baptists, or say that they are churchmen, but what they are is of the synagogue of Satan. And so men blaspheme the Lord God by taking the name of God and living in a false way. Because in Romans chapter 2, and this goes along with that, this is what happens. Now, you and I would see such foolishness and understand that that is ungodly. We would see such hijinks and know that man's a false man. He is not what he says he is. And You know, if I ever started antics like that, you know, that's time for you to tell me to hit the road, tell me to leave, because you don't want a clown or an entertainer to entertain you. You want the Word of God preached. Well, why? But where does the problem come in with this? Well, one problem in Romans chapter 2, verse 23, it says that thou makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision barely profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. So these men cause the name of God be blasphemed. And you know that should anger us. That should upset us when the name of our God is blasphemed. And it should anger us and it should upset us that our Savior, our Lord, our King is blasphemed because people of the synagogue of Satan take his name and then act a fool in his name or lie in his name and take his name and live ungodly lives. We should be upset of charlatans and people like the president of Liberty University who spent his time claiming to be a child of God and then very publicly defiles his name and lives a wicked life and causes not his name to be blasphemed, but causes the name of Christ to be blasphemed, because to lost people, that's who we all are. We're all just a bunch of hypocrites and liars and thieves and charlatans. Because that, you know, you can't, a lost person doesn't know the difference. Well, that person goes to church. That person says they follow Christ, and you know they don't know the difference between a Baptist and a Catholic and Presbyterian or anything such as that. It's all lumped in together, and it causes the name of Jesus to be blasphemed. Now, that's one reason why we have church discipline, where we say, these people claimed to be following Christ, but they're not at this time. And so we have to say, we believe that we have enacted that we don't count this as godly living, because the name of the God can be blasphemed through unrighteous living. Also through false doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 20, listen to what it says here. So we have this sin of blasphemy can occur through false professions. It can occur through ungodly living. Even among Christians, we can cause other people to blaspheme. It can also be occur through false doctrine of who is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. So here, Hymenaeus and Alexander, who actually we read about in our study of 2 Timothy. We read about what that false doctrine was, that he denied the resurrection. If you remember that in 2 Timothy 2, Hymenaeus and Philetus say that there was the resurrection's past already and overthrow the faith of some. And so through their false doctrine and through their first teaching, or false teaching, they blasphemed the Lord. Now, I know, you know, I've been wrong about things, and I've said wrong things from behind the pulpit. I've said wrong things, and God forgive me for that. And you know, the Lord is long suffering. The Lord is patient, because we don't know everything as soon as we're saved, and we actually don't know everything through our whole life. We're always learning more about God and learning things. But you can blaspheme the Lord through a false doctrine, through false teaching. And sometimes people will blaspheme the Lord Jesus by preaching a false gospel and a false teaching. That they will speak evil of God because they are attributing acts to God that just aren't true. Now the Pelagians and some other people who attribute salvation to the works of men, and make it seem as if God is in heaven just weeping and just doesn't fretting and doesn't know what to do because he wants to save people and he just can't. Why, that's borderline blasphemy to speak ill of God. To say God doesn't know and God is powerless and God wants something he just can't have and that God is and his will are thwarted by the designs of men. Well, that's blasphemy. That's speaking evil and speaking ill of God. To say that the resurrection is past, that's blasphemy. Because that's saying that God is a liar. That's saying that the promises that God has given his people aren't going to come true. That's blasphemy. It's blasphemy because if you deny the resurrection for me, that means that Christ didn't really rise from the dead, and that's blasphemy. So you can blaspheme God through false doctrine. And so certainly all these attributes are the spirit of the age. You have not only people who are mockers and speak evil of Christ, you have false professors who live taking the name of God that they shouldn't take. There's false doctrine. There's ungodly living. And why is this? Well, it is the spirit of Antichrist. Blasphemy is the spirit of Antichrist. And we'll look in Revelation chapter 13. Now, this is during that tribulation period I mentioned, but this is the spirit of Antichrist. We think of the spirit of Antichrist, you might think of the judgments and the balls of fire and the smoke and so forth. But look in chapter 13, verse 1, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And then down verse number 6, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So we have this the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of the false prophet is the spirit of blasphemy. Blasphemy is central to the Antichrist administration. His mouth spews forth blasphemies. His followers spew forth blasphemy. His religion is one of blasphemy. He opens his mouth to speak blasphemy against God, against his name, against his temple, against his worship, against the gospel, against those who follow him. That it is one blasphemy after another, and the spirit of the age will not only accept this, but they will drink it in. I couldn't imagine if you could probably take any hour of network television and bring somebody back from the 1800s to watch that, and they'd probably die of a heart attack to be exposed to such filth that is just commonplace in our day and time. That the very ideas would be too shocking probably for them to understand the things that we don't even bat an eye at. The way that Christ is spoken of and blasphemed and just among people today and not even bat an eye is shocking and very disturbing. But that is the spirit of Antichrist. That is the spirit of the ungodly. That is the spirit, the blasphemy of the beast. In chapter 16 of Revelation, we see a little bit more in verse number 9. And men were scorched with a great heat. So the angels are pouring out these vials of plagues upon the earth for the judgment on the people of the earth and those who have the mark of the beast and the kingdom of the beast. And they blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed on their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So here we have men who are being judged by God, knowing that they are being judged by God, the wrath of God is being poured out upon them, and they blaspheme God. They blaspheme his name. They blaspheme his person, his attributes, his character. They blaspheme heaven. They blaspheme his saints. They blaspheme his judgments. They blaspheme the name of God who has the power over these things. They blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. And so whenever men in power during our present virus situation say, well, prayers aren't going to save us. Prayers aren't going to do anything. We did it, everything. We're going to do that. Well, that's blasphemy. That's blaspheming the Lord. And that's raising the fist up to heaven and say, I don't care what you send our way. I don't care what happens. We will not submit to you. And we will not give you glory. Now, that's a one instance with all the stuff that has happened in these last couple months. That is one thing that you probably have noticed, that no one has repented of anything. If anything, it would seem that people have just dug their heels in and are just determined that we're going to just keep on not only going the same direction, but digging the heels in and say, we will not listen, we will not submit. If anything, this should have taught us that the things that we held so dear and so sure are nothing but sinking sand. And what do? We blaspheme his name. We blaspheme the Lord. Just as one example, the Supreme Court justice passed away, and within probably minutes, people started raising, not thinking about eternity, not thinking about death itself, but immediately the minds turned. Well, we have to protect abortion. We have to protect the murder of babies. And just within minutes, people started talking about that. Well, we can't get somebody on the Supreme Court, they'll take away our abortion. We can't take somebody over our dead bodies, it said. No, over the bodies of millions of dead babies, but not over your dead bodies. But that's what it was. That's blasphemy. That's the spirit of the age. We don't care about these things. We don't care about, as a nation, godliness and God speaking to us in these ways, which he is, and yet we do not repent. But that's the spirit of Antichrist. And you wonder how people could go along with Antichrist. Well, you know how people can go along with Antichrist. Because the Bible says that there'll be a mark, and if you don't have that mark, you can't buy food, and you can't have a job, and you can't sell anything. You have to have that mark. And people will do what they'll do whatever they're told if it's going to cost them anything. Any little inconvenience. Or if it's going to gain them anything. People don't care about truth. They don't care about holiness. Oh, you're going to give me something? Well, I'll take that mark. Oh, you mean I won't be able to go to Walmart? Well, I better take that mark. Well, it's blasphemy. That's the spirit of the age. It's ill speaking of God. Taking God's name in vain. The third commandment here, taking the Lord's name in vain, is blasphemy. That's God's name. And it's more specific than it's more than just his specific name, Jehovah. You know, the Jews still today won't spell out the word God. They'll spell G_D for fear of taking his name in vain. Well, they have the wrong concept of what it is to take the Lord's name in vain. They wouldn't speak his name at all. And God gave us his name, and we are to honor it and to reverence it. But that wasn't the purpose of the commandment, not to speak the name of God. But it involves his name, but also more than that. His titles, his attributes, his nature, his actions. And if you notice in Revelation, where we read there, that where they blasphemed the Lord, or blasphemed in the spirit of Antichrist in chapter 13, listen to what they did. They blasphemed against God in 13, verse 6. They blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So they blasphemed the Lord himself. They blasphemed his name. They blasphemed heaven and his saints and those who follow him. Well, that is how you take the Lord's name in vain. Because his name is more than just Jehovah. It carries with it who he is, his person, his title, his attributes. Everything that he does. So all that God is and all that God says and all that God does and all that God bids is his name. G.D. Borg said that. And so just listen to all these scriptures. I've got them written down. I'm going to read them here. And notice the frequency of the phrase and the different ways the name of God is used. And it shows that his name is more than just the letters or the pronunciation of his name. But it shows that his name is associated and tied to all that he is and says and does and wills. So in Psalm 8:1, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set the glory above the heavens. Psalm 21, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Psalm 68:4, sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. Psalm 111:9, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. And then we are to pray. Jesus said in Matthew 6:9, Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then in Matthew 18:5, and whosoever shall receive such a little child in my name receiveth me. So if we're two or three are gathered in his name. Father, glorify thy name. And in John 12:8-28. Paul was to go and bear God's name before the Gentiles. He was to suffer for his name's sake in Acts chapter 9. Jesus is given a name above every name in Philippians 2:9-10, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and things in heaven and things in earth. And whatsoever we do, in word and deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. So we see his character tied to his name, his actions, his deeds, his will, his works, his person, all associated with his name. So when you take the Lord's name in vain, when you stub your toe in the dark and curse out at God, you are defying his attributes, his person, his goodness, his holiness. And you are defiling the holy and precious name of the Lord God. You are taking it vainly. Well, another way you can blaspheme the Lord is by taking his name in vain. Now, one way to do that, is, like I said, is just use it irreverently. But another way to do it is to take it up. So to take his name is to lift it up and to bear it. We are called to take the name of the Lord as his children, to bear it in the gospel and bear it as a token of our salvation. We have and do take the Lord's name. If I say I'm a child of God, I have taken the Lord's name. If whenever I say that the Lord has saved me and I'm baptized, what do? We say that you are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. When we baptize, we take that name and say we have been saved by that name. Paul was to go and to bear the name of God, bear the name of Christ before the Gentiles. We take his name. He gives us that name to take. And we go as his ambassadors. So those who falsely take the name of Christ in sin or blaspheme his name, whereas what we are supposed to do is take his name and honor it and glorify it and lift it up and praise it and show the greatness of our God. And to show how God has saved us and given us life. How do you take the name of God You know, when you go to clay, how do you take the name of God? When you go to the doctor, how do you take the name of God? When you go online and go on the social media, how do you take that name? Do you take it and lift up the name of God? Do you take it and defile the name of Christ? Because you say, well, I'm a Christian, but then you defile his name by being unequally yoked. We are to bear his name for his glory. We are to carry God's name in reverence and in truth. So it's a sin to take God's name falsely. And it's a sin to take his name and vainly say, well, I'm a child of God, and not trust in Christ. The word vain just means empty or profanely or deceitfully even. Falsely and insincerely. So when you speak light of God and speak light of his name, when you make jokes about God, you're taking his name in vain. When we speak God's name and aren't talking about God or praying to God or even thinking about God, you've taken his name in vain. So if you use God's name as a byword, use God's name when you're angry, or use God's name when you stump your toe, you're taking it vainly. You're using his name in a profane way, an empty way, an insincere way. I used to joke with the boys because they'd say, hey, Dad. And I'd say, what? And they'd say, Dad. I'd say, what? Hey, Dad. And this would go on, and it seemed like 20 or 30 times. And then finally, I said, well, quit taking my name in vain. Just talk to me. But they would just say that, not even thinking. They didn't have anything to say. They were just trying to get my attention. But if you just take the Lord's name and you don't have any intention for it, and you just throw it out there as a feeler because you don't know what else to say. Or some people, instead of saying or they'll take God's name in vain. If you take God's name insincerely, take God's name in baptism and not live it, take God's name in praying and not believe it, sing songs about the Lord, but not even think about him, you're taking God's name vainly. If you use it in an oath, you can take God's name in vain and blaspheme him. The Jews made it a matter of habit to swear about everything. And they'd swear, but instead of swearing to God, they'd swear by the temple. And Jesus says, well, if you swear by the temple, you're swearing by me, because that's my temple. They tried to take the power of the oath and associate it with things of God rather than saying it, but they still blasphemed the Lord through their false vows. Or when we swear to God and just say that to try to add some emphasis to our words, we're taking his name in vain. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no, and that should be sufficient. You should live to where if you say yes, that should be enough, that people should believe you. And if you say no, they should believe you. You shouldn't have to add all the extra stress and so forth to these things. That our yes should be yes and our no should be no. But many people, just to add stress to what they want to do, they will say, well, I swear to God. Or I swear by heaven. I swear on my head. You know, anything. You're emptily using an oath. People will be telling a story. Well, I swear to God that was truth. Well, they're not swearing to God. You know what they're doing? It's an empty oath. Most people who would say such things don't even think about God most of the time. Even I think where Jesus said, if you swear about, if you make an oath to the temple, you're, you know, because that was the things of God, that's making an oath, you're still swearing by God. Even people who take oaths about hell, blaspheming the Lord. You know, when people say, take the name of hell and say, you know, they'll say, hell, yes, to this. Or, and they vainly swear by hell. Well, hell belongs to God. That's his place of damnation. That is his place of judgment. And when people use the word hell as an oath and swear yes or no by hell, they're blaspheming God. Because hell belongs to God. That's where he sends those who blaspheme his name. And so those profanities and those vile oaths are used to reinforce and to exclaim a yes or a no, that they take the Lord's name and they blaspheme him. You know, it's not the devil's hell. It doesn't belong to the devil. It belongs to God. And he's the one that condemns men and judges men and sends men into that very awful place of judgment. So you blaspheme God by taking anything of God's and speaking irreverently and falsely and vainly about it. There's a vileness of the sin because there's no upside to it. Well, there's really no upside to any sin in the long run, but, you know, if you steal something from somebody until you get caught, you know, you've got what you stole. You remember Bernie Madoff, who stole all those millions upon millions of dollars from people. For a while, he was living high on the hog. He had everything that you could want in this life, even though he was stealing. So for a while, he enjoyed the pleasure of that sin. And, you know, idols might fill a missing void in worship. You have a momentary pleasure of adultery and fornication. Sometimes people murder and they have that momentary sense of vengeance or whatever the purpose was. But there's no upside to taking the Lord's name in vain. Think about that. What do you gain by taking the Lord's name in vain? What do you get out of it? You don't feel any better. You know, you're just venting anger against God. One man said, the sin of swearing against God is perfectly useless. It doesn't do anything for anybody. It doesn't do anything for the person. Doesn't do anything for those who hear it. It's just a vain and empty fist to God. And it's just the spewing of a wicked heart. With no upside other than defying the Lord. What a depraved mind and depraved heart it is that we will take the Lord's name in vain. The Bible says in the commandments that God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. This is the only of the Ten Commandments that has such a fierce warning and promise of punishment. The most commonly broken commandment also carries the heaviest weight of judgment, that he will not hold them guiltless. In the book of Leviticus, there was the Danite who took the Lord's name in vain, and they took that person outside the camp and they put them to death. The sin we are all guilty of is the one that God says there is no way out of that. There's no overlooking taking his name in vain. What should it do for us? Well, it should cause us to love the name of God, to hold his name up, but mostly it should also make us despise the spirit of this age and not to want to be a part of the spirit of this age. It should cause us to fear the Lord and not to fear man. But most of all, she calls us to seek forgiveness in Christ. What a holy, precious name we have in the name of Jesus. What a holy, precious name of Jesus that we have. And Oh, we shouldn't want to blaspheme the name of our dear friend. It should hurt you to hear people take the name of Jesus and use it as a curse or a byword. If somebody started cursing your spouse, would you stand idly by and laugh about it? Would it just go in one ear or out the other? If someone cursed your children and used your children as a byword and a curse word and a swear word, would you get angry at all? How could we as God's people sit and listen to wicked men, wicked women, wicked children take the holy and sweet and precious name of Jesus and say, oh, it's just entertainment. It's just them being them. To take the name of our dear Savior who hung on Calvary's cross, whose hands were nailed to that cursed tree for your sake, for your sake. And his blood sprinkled for your sake and for your sins. And then to hear someone blaspheme his name, it should repel us. And certainly we should not want to be part of that, the spirit of that age. But that's what that is. That's what the spirit of the age is, the spirit of blasphemy that we shouldn't want to be a part of. Is the name of Jesus precious to you? Is the name of Jesus sweet to your ear? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than that sweet and holy and precious name of Jesus. May the Lord.